First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Thank you, Sister Savannah and the team today for leading us in song. The word of the Lord says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought, a kingdom man, a kingdom man. Would you lift your voices to the Lord this afternoon, this morning? Would you just lift your voices and pray with a loud voice? God would help us today to be doers and hearers of his word. Come on, with a loud voice, just pray. Pray for Pastor Pinero. Pray for God would help me to share with you what he's given me for this special day, for this service. We love you today because your word is anointed, oh God. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Amen. And father figures. I want to make sure the father figures get a shout out today. The surrogate fathers, those that have stepped in and filling the gap. Thank you so much for doing that. And we value you. As Sister Pinero mentioned, we appreciate you. We love you. And today we honor you. I don't know if you realize this or not, but men don't always mean what they say. Or excuse me, let me clarify that. Yeah. Let's delete that. Men don't always say what they mean. So let me help somebody here today. Let me translate the language of man. When a man says it would take too long to explain, what he means is he has no idea how it works. Just trying to help somebody. I had two witnesses already. When a man says, "Can I help with dinner?" What he means is, why isn't the food ready yet? That's what it means. But when he says, "I can't find it," ladies, this it means that it didn't fall into my outstretched hands from heaven, so I'm completely clueless. It's okay to laugh. It's the only time you can be able to laugh at something like this. Next time you're going to be quiet and you're going to be like, the Lord gave me this some time back. I ministered to a group of men from another church, and I ministered in this vein with this sermon some time back about a kingdom man. Paul is the Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Thessalonians, and he's writing, and he writes this letter when he was in Corinth. He established this church or this congregation on one of his missionary journeys, and he writes to the Thessalonians, which lived in Thessalonica, he's commending them, and he's letting them understand the value of their Christian walk. He's exhorting them to continue to excel in their walk with the Lord. And he is really admonishing them to be steadfast in their relationship with the Lord under some difficult afflictions. And so this morning, I want to just talk to all of us about a kingdom man or a kingdom person, being a person that when you wake up in the morning and when your feet hit the floor, every demon in hell is notified that, he's awake again. Because, you know, some men are known in the streets. Some guys are known on the ball field. Others, they're known in the corporate world. But I know that I'm preaching and talking to a group of men today that desire to be kingdom-minded, kingdom men. That's what we ought to be aiming and striving, promoting and provoking is that we are kingdom men. And I say it every year that we need more king. We need more Christian fathers, Christian mentors. We need more godly examples. We need men that are, that they mean what they say, and they are men of their word. I had a conversation with a man yesterday, somebody I love and respect, and we were talking about something, and I put my hand on his knee, and I said, "Well, I know you're a man of your word." And unfortunately, and he is, but unfortunately, that's a novelty nowadays. That's a shame. But I'm glad I'm looking at men here today, and women as well, that you do your best to do what you say, and you keep your word, and your yeses are yeses, and your noes are noes, and even if it hurts somebody's feelings, or it's a little sacrifice for you, you're able to say yes or no. That's the definition of a kingdom man, that you know what, I'm doing all that I can to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. When we talk about the word kingdom, it's the domain of the king, or it's the area or sphere in which one holds a preeminent position. It's the spiritual reign of God, and because we are his, we have spiritual authority. And you know, some folks are great about talking about themselves. Just ask them. They'll tell you. You know, some folks like to talk about the glory days. Well, I think we're living in some glory days right now. Amen. The half has yet to be told. And we all know folks that are legends in their own mind.
Yeah.
Ask them. They'll tell you. And in fact, we know some folks, or you may know somebody that knows somebody. I know, but there's nobody here like that, I assure you. But they live in their own world based off the things that they come up with. Like, you know, and the powers of this world are limited, and the kingdoms and the dynasties of humanity are limited. They all have a shelf life. It's not only potato chips that expire. Where is the Roman Empire? What happened to Alexander the Great? What happened to the greatest basketball player of all time? Retired. What happened to Neil Armstrong? He's not walking on the moon. He retired. Nobody stays in position forever. Nothing lasts forever on earth in this dispensation, not even a Twinkie. Empires rise and empires fall. We learned about them in school. And the greatest of actors and musicians and the greatest of songs, somebody else will come write a new one, somebody cuter and more buff will make another film, and players are traded, houses are sold. Fashion comes, fashion goes. What's popular today will be unpopular this time next year, and the I gotta have it is forgotten about and sometimes broken and misplaced, or it's in an attic or a storage facility somewhere for someday. Folks get wrapped up in the here and now, and as the Bible says in Mark 4:19, the word of the Lord says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke and chokes the word of God, and then we become unfruitful." The kingdom of God here, Pastor, is not meant to be regulated by the vices and trends of this world and the norms of society. The word of God is not in bondage. The word of God is not bound. When God says something, he says it and he does it. And that's the kingdom of power. That's the kingdom of strength and authority. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "Wherefore I suffer trouble even as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. It's not bound. We can bind some things in the spirit. We can lose some things in the spirit. But the word, even though we may be, you may be here today, you may be bound by sin, or you may be bound by hurts and pains and suffering from some situations in your life. But God's word is not chained up, and God's word is not something that is being hindered because of the lack of power. But God's word is forever settled in heaven and in earth. And God's word is yes, and it's amen. And if God's for us, who can be against us? And I believe I'm preaching to some people today that understand that I'm in the kingdom for the kingdom, and I'm a kingdom-minded person. And if I'm going to be about anything, I'm going to be about the kingdom of God. If I'm going to talk about anything, I'm going to talk about my Father's business. If I'm going to give glory to anything, I'm going to give glory to God. If I'm going to stand for anything, I'm going to stand for the kingdom. If I'm going to tear anything down, I'm going to tear the kingdom down of the enemy, and I'm going to build up the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. There's a lot of things coming against you and your family because you represent the church. You represent the kingdom. But I've come to preach life, deliverance, faith, and hope into somebody here today. The devil's not messing with you because you're almost down. He's messing with you because there's victory. Because there's something that he's about to do. He's squeezing something out of you so he can build something in you. The devil, I feel my help. The devil's after you, not because you're empty, but because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're part of an everlasting kingdom. You're so important. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 49 and 16 that you're so important that he has graven you upon the palms of his hand.
Amen.
Kingdom man. Kingdom man is one that teaches those within the confines of his influence the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Kingdom man is one that stands and teaches what is biblical versus what is popular. Kingdom man is one that promotes the godly agenda versus what is relevant. Kingdom man puts God first in everything.
Yeah.
Not just in word, but in demonstration. It's the kingdom man that, as the psalmist tells us, understands that his steps are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
If God has you walking through it, that means he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
It's the kingdom man that, though life and circumstances and time have perhaps taken a toll on his finances and his physical strength and his emotions, it's the kingdom man that has a passion that will last and be a legacy to those around him. Just think about this on Father's Day. Think about this. The greatest gift or lesson we can leave as a legacy to our kids, our families, and the next generation, and those within the sphere of our influence, is our relationship and commitment and love for God. That's the greatest. Jesus tells us in Matthew 27, he says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart and with all thy heart and with some of thy soul, all thy soul, with some of thy mind, all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. When we stop to think of those who are watching us, or even those that mimic us and that look to us and wanting to be like us, it leaves a long-lasting legacy. We ought to be leaving a legacy of a kingdom man.
Amen.
Of a kingdom woman.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that we are called into his kingdom and glory, but we need to walk worthy of God. We need to aim to please God and not man, but we need to please God. We need to stop worrying about what everyone else thinks and what does God know.
Right.
The kingdom man will instill biblical principles and absolutes. Notice this, to God, that we're going to instill those biblical principles and absolutes that are God ordained, and we understand that they're going to be sustaining long after our career is over. Long after the money dries up, you say, well, the money's already driven up. Well, this ought to motivate you more. Long after, when age defies the good looks of our youth, I know some of you are so good looking, you can't even imagine looking like somebody else. But at some point in time, you're going to own your teeth, and you're going to have some hearing devices you're going to have to buy. And you know, right now you got a swag, and you may have walk with a limp later on. But could I tell you, whether you swag, whether you limp, whether you got all teeth, no teeth, all your hair, no hair, you got a lot of wrinkles, or you look good just like the person seated next to you. Could I tell you, we have got to be a kingdom man. Heaven and earth was going to pass away, but the words of God do not pass away. Kingdom man. Somebody say a kingdom man.
Kingdom man.
Our children and our grandkids and our families, they need us to be godly minded individuals.
Amen.
Just think about some of the things we say. What are we known for? Losing your temper? Being grumpy? Making good food? Trusting God, being compassionate, being a man of your word, being loving, being stern but kind, being obedient, knowing that obedience is better than sacrifice. Some would say here today, well, Pastor, you know, you grew up with the Father. Your father's a preacher and man of God, and you have people like Brother Emery and Bishop Keys and Bishop Mullings that check on you and instill things in you and hold you accountable. You know you are right, and I'm glad I do. But can I tell you, if you don't have that, you can have that, and you can be that to the next generation.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You can start a new limb, a new branch on that tree. I'm talking to all the men here today that you say, well, my kids are grown and my kids and my grandkids live elsewhere. We have an estranged relationship. Then you find somebody in this church and you be a godly example and mentor to them. And don't be cheap and buy them lunch, buy them breakfast. Make sure they can get to camp. Don't be like, well, you know what? Well, you know nothing. You influence somebody for the things of God and watch what God will do for you. Somebody say a kingdom man.
Kingdom man.
You stand in the gap.
Right.
1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, I'm going to read it again. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. There's too many individuals in the world that want the benefits of being a man but won't act like a man. I would drop a mic, but they're like $1,000. Expensive. We need men and women that get their nose out of other people's business and will keep their nose in the book.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
If you know about something you shouldn't know about, then you need to pray about it, not gossip and share. Come on, somebody. Well, did you hear about? No, I didn't hear about it, and I don't want to hear about it. I want to know what you're doing about it in the altar and in the prayer room. Come on, somebody. Because the kingdom man will pray about it. That's why every devil in hell and demon will say, you know, he's up again. Oh, no, he's on his knees. Oh, we're in big trouble now. He's praying. You ought to tell somebody, no, I'm not going to get even with you. I'm going to go up above you. I'm going to go talk to the King of Kings, and I'm going to pray for you. And whatever God decides to do, that's on him and that's on you, because you reap what you sow, baby. But I'm about the kingdom. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I'm about the kingdom of God. Thank you for coming to the church today on Father's Day. Thank you for not sleeping in, but coming to the house of God. You're on the track of being a kingdom man. Thank you. Thank you for lifting your hands and giving God praise and thanks this morning. But I got a challenge, because I know every man likes to be challenged. Let's do more. And those that are bystanding and watching and spectating, let's be their biggest fan.
Yeah.
Let's support them. I said, well, I wish you would run the aisles like Brother Ronnie. Can I tell you, hey, Brother Ronnie used to run the streets, so he has to run in church.
Woo! Yes! Praise the Lord! Woo!
Yeah. You know, some people like to run their mouth, but hey, that's why they praise the Lord a lot, because they know that, hey, I'm going to run my mouth on something. I might as well run it giving God the glory and giving the praise. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Somebody stay on track, Pastor. Stay on track. Let's be more kingdom-minded.
Yeah.
In our worship.
Yes.
In our prayer. Our faithfulness to God. You know, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, build up the man.
Yeah.
Well, if he would give me something to build up, hey, it says to provoke unto love and to good works.
Exactly.
You know, if he doesn't have much hair, hey, I like how you combed your hair, you know. Well, we're not going to have to wait long for Dad to comb his hair because he's almost done, right? Build him up. Kind.
Yeah.
We got a lot of awesome men in this church. They're all awesome. And they're getting more awesome as the day goes by. I'm even awesomized by their awesomeness. But let's support them. Let's love them. Don't bring up every past mistake they've made. It may be the first time they made a mistake this year. Well, thank the Lord. They've made it this far this year, halfway through the year, with only one mistake. Somebody say kingdom man.
Kingdom man.
Guys, men, let's read our Bibles more. So we know where we're going and what to do when we don't know where we're going.
Yeah.
Psalmist 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yeah. We've got to remember that faithfulness pays off, and faithfulness always trumps talent.
Yeah, it
does. At least in this church, under my leadership. And I know it was like that for 40 years before I got here, that faithfulness always trumps talent. You may have a lot of talent, but if you're not faithful, you're not a kingdom man.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. We may not always see what God is doing, but could I tell you one thing I've learned, Brother Parra? He's always up to something. We may not even realize what he's doing, but he's up to something. And whatever he's doing, I know that he works all things together for my good, to those that are called, to those that love him. I want to be a kingdom man. Because we're in a kingdom of power.
Yeah.
We're not in a weak kingdom. We're not in an anemic kingdom. Brother Bell, we're not in a kingdom that is asleep, but it's a kingdom that is growing. It is a kingdom that has dominion.
Yeah.
We are taking more territory in the kingdom. And the power of God doesn't get weaker as the years go by, but the power of God is just as strong and as powerful now as it was in the early church beginnings.
Yeah.
But it's up to us to execute. It's up to us to allow the power of God to be active in our lives.
Yeah.
Can't live for God with a powerless mindset. There's a real spiritual war going on. There's real spiritual attacks taking place. But the word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, it tells, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so there's some brilliant minds in here. Some of the things you think about and come up with is amazing. But notice this. He can do above all that we can ask or think. There's a lot of folks, we do a lot of asking. But he can do above that. According to the power that worketh in us. Notice this. Unto him be glory. The kingdom man doesn't care about who gets the glory. He just wants to be active and involved in the kingdom. A kingdom man, let me tell you what a kingdom man is. They're a team player. They just want to, you know what they say? Well, if I'm just the guy that holds the football on my big toe, so somebody else could kick it and score the points and get all the glory. You know what? I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to make sure my toe is at the right spot. My shoe is clean. I'll cut my toenails, make sure they look good. I'm going to make sure my finger looks good for the picture. You know what? That's a team player. What we need in the kingdom of God is some more team players. Say, well, if I can't, then I'm not. No, the devil is a liar. I'm about the kingdom of God. I'm a kingdom-minded man.
Amen.
I invite you to be a part of the Kingdom Man Club.
Yeah.
Not the He-Man Woman Haters Club. But the Kingdom Mind Club.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be free food. There's going to be prayer. There's going to be encouragement. There's going to be a devotion. Yeah. And if you even need a ride, raise your hand, Brother Bonham. Let Brother Bonham know. He'll make sure somebody gets you a ride there. You may have to take the bus, get an Uber. But you know what? On Friday at 6:30, our men's ministry leader, Brother Parra, stand up. There you are. Turn around so everybody can see you. He's married. He's soon to be a grandfather someday in the future if the Lord allows. Can I tell you, he's a Kingdom Man representing the Kingdom Club. And if you want to be a part of the Kingdom Man Club, see him after church. Why? Because we're taking more territory in Jesus' name. And it's time for some of you to re-enlist.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody say Kingdom Man.
Kingdom Man.
It's time for some to quit talking about it and start being about it. And check this out. This is good preaching, by the way. Here it is. It's time for you and I to put aside whatever it is that has been lurking around, tripping you up, and quit kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
And just throw it in the trash. Let it get recycled. In fact, it's garbage day. Time to take the trash out. Outside, on the curb. If somebody else wants to dig into it and take it, hey, that's up to them. But don't go back and pick it up and bring it back in the house. It's time to take the trash out and re-enlist in the kingdom. Somebody say in the kingdom. When you're in a kingdom, man, you have the faithfulness of David. Think about this. David was anointed to be king, but his father and his brothers treated him and trained him to be a shepherd. But he was anointed to be king. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, Samuel was the man of God that anointed David. Says the Lord tells him, don't look at his countenance, nor at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. This is in reference to David was out in the field watching his father's sheep while the man of God was at the house with all of David's brothers looking to anoint and select a king for Israel. The Lord tells Samuel, he's looking at one of David's brothers and says, hey, don't be impressed by the outward appearance, because I'm looking at the heart. There's a lot of folks that can front. They can pretend. They can fool people. Act like, oh, it's all good, but you know, they've been MIA for a long time, but you know, we know. But you know, even if we don't know, and he's acquainted with all of our ways. But David was forgotten about. He was just left in the field. But David was about his father's business.
Yeah.
Yeah. David experienced things that nobody even saw, like the killing of the lion and the bear. We know about it because he told us. See, because there's some private battles that some of you are fighting or will fight that nobody but you and God know. But it's making you be the man, and it's giving you experience that you're going to need to be a giant killer someday. David was a kingdom man. He even played the harp for Saul when Saul despised him. David became Saul's armor bearer. 1 Samuel 16:21 tells us that. And David's father, Jesse, sent him to go serve his brothers who were called, qualified, and participating in a battle. Notice 1 Samuel 17:17 and 17:18. David's father tells him to go and take this corn these 10 loaves of bread and go to the camp to see your brothers. Notice this, and take the cheese, so bread and cheese, maybe he was Portuguese, and unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Everyone that was qualified, trained, was at the battle. And his brother Eliab, who was obviously had the appearing of a leader, and the king and the rest of the men were there, and his brothers were there, and they weren't doing anything. Doesn't it ever frustrate anybody here that people that should be doing something aren't doing something?
Amen.
They're qualified, you know, they got all the accolades, training, certifications, they got the great talk, they got the look, but all talk but no
action.
You said it. But 1 Samuel 17 and 28 says, the older brother, David came, his anger was kindled against David. You know, I know sometimes there's family drama, and that's when you're dealing with humanity, that'll happen. But his brother is angered because David comes to the battle, and he asks him, why are you here? And then you're here, but who did you leave those sheep with? Kind of like, what are you doing here? And why aren't you shepherd? This is for the real men. Yeah, but you guys aren't doing anything. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David says something so powerful. He says, what did I do? Is there not a cause? There's a reason. Something going on here. The trained, the qualified, versus the minimal, the one that was forgotten about, left in the field, not even old enough to be in the battle, shows up for such an appointed time. David showed up that day because he was about his father's business. He shows up that day to serve his father. But the bishop, he shows up that day bringing gifts. He shows up that day as a servant, about his father's business, all about the kingdom, to sustain my brothers while they're in the battle. How are we sustaining our brothers while they're in their battle?
Exactly.
Well, if you would have only done what I told you to. Okay, but I didn't. My bad.
Uh-huh.
Help me. Don't hurt me.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
Sustaining his brothers. And then David comes that day as a servant. He comes that day as a shepherd. He's been trained the entire time to be a shepherd, and he does it, and he's an armor bearer, and he does it, and he plays the harp. He uses what God has given him for the kingdom, and God elevates him in front of everybody. He shows up that day a servant, anointed to serve. He does it with excellence, but he leaves that day a giant killer.
Yeah.
Holding the head of Goliath in his hand.
Yeah.
Didn't kill him with the sword. Didn't knock him over with the fist bump. No. He gets his slingshot and in the name of the Lord, and that rock got in the forehead of that Goliath. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he falls to the ground. David takes that sword and he cuts off his head. And you know what? We're still singing the songs of David. We're still using him as an example today. Why? Because he was about his father's business. He was a kingdom man. I went to God this morning that not just the men of RT, but the ladies of RT would be about our father's business. I'm going to be a kingdom man. I'm about my father's business. I'm going to be a kingdom lady. I'm about my father's business. I'm going to serve serve. I'm going to be faithful. It doesn't matter who gets the glory. It doesn't matter who sees what I'm doing, because I'm about the king. Pastor, I'm about the kingdom. It's time to reenlist. It's time to extend my involvement. It's time, you know what? I'm going to do what I can, and God will fill in the gap. It doesn't matter where I'm serving. I'm just here to serve the kingdom of God and serve one another. Can I tell you, we're going to need a lot more volunteers in the kingdom for a 3,000 soul revival. Can I tell you, it's going to take a lot of people and say, you know what? I'm here as a worshiper in the VIP section. Take my seat if you want. I'll come at 9 o'clock if I need to, but I'm here for such a time as this. Is there not a cause? Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. It's time to reenlist. It's time to recommit. It's time to start using the weapons of our warfare and get them out of the toolbox.
Yeah.
It's time to be fully armed with the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
Not just the shield of faith.
Right.
For our weapons are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And bringing forth into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. This is a generation of power. But it's we got to remember the God who gave us the power.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6 and 10 tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I better hurry because my laptop's about to die. Or my iPad's about to die. Some of you have overcome addiction, immoral lifestyles, affliction, and generational sins because of the power of God. Sometimes life takes us to places we never expected to go. And in those places, God writes a story we never thought would be ours. Don't trade God's timing for your deadline.
Amen.
Just position yourself to be about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God, the psalmist tells us, is an everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth unto all generations. Guys, we set the stage. We chart the path. We lead. Some of you are here today, and you are the very ones that if I had to make one phone call in the middle of the night, some of you are seated here, and I'll make that one phone call. You have a very good reputation. But what does hell say about you?
Yeah.
What does God know about you?
Yeah.
Are we cutting spiritual corners? That's a recipe for disaster. We set the example. Just like we work hard to provide for our families, let's work even harder to sustain the spiritual growth of our families. Together we can weep in the altar. We can rejoice with one another. You know, I told somebody the other day, Brother Rupert, I was talking to somebody, and I said, it was actually Brother Briano at camp, and I said, we were talking about, you remember back in the old days when there was just one energy drink, right? And then now you walk into these convenience stores, and you're like, whoa, it's like three refrigerators filled. There used to just be one 8-ounce little thing called Red Bull. And now they got like a collection of flavors. And I told Brother Briano, you know, I'm just waiting for the day for someone to make a Haterade drink, like a real Haterade drink. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I want to say something. We don't need no haters in the church.
Right.
If you feel that hater spirit getting upon you, You're going to have to go have church by yourself in another city far, far away from here, because I don't want anything to do with that. What I want is I want to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Come on, somebody. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. Well, if they would. Hey, you know what the Bible says? You that are spiritual, restore such a one. So maybe you're not as spiritual as you think you are.
Exactly.
Why don't you get too many? Is this all right? Is this all right? How about you in the balcony out there? Is this all right? In the out there in the no man's land? Is it all right? We need to provoke unto love and to good works. And if you're so spiritual, then you should be restoring such a folks. You should have a restoration fan club, you know? Hey, I'm restoring such a one. I'm not talking, you, oh, I'm real big behind the computer screen. Oh, the devil is a liar. You're just feeding fuel to the enemy. You're sowing discord. That's what you're doing. But a kingdom man says, you know what? Disconnect it, delete it. We're out of here, baby. We're about the kingdom. Kingdom. Who cares about them anyway? We're about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So we stand this morning. Our children are blessed not by the money we leave,
exactly.
Not by the house or houses you leave, and not by the property you leave, but by the legacy you leave them for the kingdom.
Amen.
By the legacy you leave for the kingdom.
Yep.
The rich heritage of a kingdom man will instill Proverbs 22:6 into his family to disciple a child, to train them in the faithful godly values, kingdom values that will see them through the trials and hardships of life that they go through.
Amen.
And understand that all things are possible with God.
Yeah.
A kingdom man understands the values of God's economic system.
Mm-hmm.
That though we could use the money, we will honor God with our tithes and offering first.
Yeah.
A kingdom man values that although we're sick and we may have health issues and God may have healed that person in the Soledad church with cancer and I'm still going through chemotherapy, Isaiah 53:5 is still true now than ever before. God is a healer, and by his stripes we're healed.
Amen.
Kingdom man, a kingdom man. A kingdom man that has values that will hold a marriage together.
Yeah.
And if when the other partner doesn't seem to want to, that would understand what Matthew 19:6 says, that what God puts together, let no man put asunder.
Amen.
Mm. Some of you this morning, Sister Parr, if you would come. I may get emotional with this, but it's all right. One of the greatest Christians that has ever lived was Bishop Keys. And some of you have never had the privilege to meet him. In fact, half of this church here this morning, half our church never had the privilege. We've doubled since Bishop Keys was here. And I'll explain to you why. But some of you have never had the privilege to meet that man, godly man. But he burned into the fabric of this church almost like a tattoo. It's in all of us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. He saw what is happening today in the spirit. And so he was such a kingdom man that he stepped aside and said, you know, it's time for another generation to do that, because he was about the kingdom of God. You want to be like anybody? You want to be a kingdom man? Sometimes you're going to have to step aside and do like David did. When David could not build the temple, he was such about the kingdom. Oh, man, he was such about the kingdom that he made sure that everything that the next generation would need was available.
Yeah.
Everything that they need would be available. And he did so with his influence. Some of you may not have the physical strength. You time and has been better to some than to others, and finances come and go, and talent and abilities and all kinds of things. But you know what? If we can invest in our kids and we can invest in our young people for the next generation, and sometimes it's like, you know, well, this is where I always sit, but yeah, they're coming in with a family of five, and you're sitting in an area where it's meant for families, and you just because that's where you like to sit and you get comfortable, you know what? Maybe it's time to say, well, maybe Pastor, I may have to move to a different seat so that they can be comfortable and have an area. You know, I want to make, because I'm about the kingdom. I'm about the kingdom. My kids are grown and my grandkids are grown. And so, you know what, Pastor, here, I'm going to put some money in a blue envelope for whatever the kids' ministry needs. It's whatever they need.
Yeah.
Because I'm about the kingdom.
Yeah.
And David will tell us in 1 Chronicles. I know I skipped around with that. But 1 Chronicles, this is what David said. David, he said, you know what? I give thanks. Therefore, our God, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name. Notice verse 14. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after the sword? For all things come from thee, and of thine have we given thee. Everything I have belongs to God. So I'm not going to hoard it physically, financially, spiritually. I'm not going to hoard it, but I'm going to give it back to God.
Yeah.
Even the breath in our lungs, Brother Chris, it's His.
Yeah.
The breath in our lungs.
Yeah.